You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Wake Up Tucson. We made it to a Friday.
Darn right.
And we call it the third day of Fang Fang and Ruben Gago Hump Day. It's like the third day of Christmas.
Wow. Okay.
It's also Friday the 13th, which is why we have Sean McCluskey on later today. We have, it's a perfect day. I dedicate this to the seven wonderful humans on the city council, four of the Board of Supes, the entire TUSD school board. It's National Blame Someone Else Day. So, you know, the old thing you say, this buds for you. And then food-wise, huge today. International Hummus Day. Shish Kebab House is still my favorite. National Apple Pie Day. Apple pie. Still a Dutch crumb guy.
Pie.
Test Kitchen has an amazing Dutch crumb one. And then it's World Cocktail Day, which we should have talked about with Matt Russell yesterday.
I know. But, well,
or 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
But that's okay.
Deliver a very long, gushing kiss to liver and onions.
A river of liver. Chris from Solidarity is going to call up. He wants to talk about this Roe v. Wade draft opinion. Then we have CJ from Saguaro Corners for Food Friday Hour. I just told him to hang out. We'll cover whatever. And then Sean McCluskey will be here. And then Sean's bringing, I think her name's Olivia. She's the bartender from Frankie's Cheesesteak. She's the one that we were talking about when he was on with the Miranda Beer Club guys. And we were talking about, what was I going to say? How good she is. She remembers your name. She's one of those really good front of the house kind of folks. So that's going on in the third hour. And then we have other stuff. Tucson had a wacky day yesterday. And a miserable day. So what we're going to do is we also have a soundbite from Bill's show at noon yesterday. A listener called up and asked one-term Rex, he's getting there, a question. And then one-term Rex gave classic smug answer. And we'll give you a little analysis, as we say. Again, this is what I always appreciate when someone's actually asking these people a question. Because it sometimes doesn't happen on a regular basis, and it should. We have this baby formula shortage. Again, I never doubt the Republican Party's ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But the Democrats are just handing it to you. I mean, when we have the Saki puppet, I mean, this line is great. So a female reporter, I wonder if we have a name, I heard the audio today. Ask the sock puppet, what should they do if parents can't find a formula? And she said, call their doctor or pediatrician. I love it. The tone deafness is amazing. So then you might have seen some stuff on Facebook, right? About what's that? Bare shelves Biden. This comes from the Ursula, Texas Processing Center at the U.S. border. This comes from a Border Patrol agent down there. I'm sure Chris Magnus will fire him now. The shelves and pallets filled with baby formula for the illegal migrants at the border. Well, the supermarket shelves are bare. Keep doing it, kids. I love it. I love it. We also have audio of the messages left for the pro-life center in Madison, Wisconsin that got firebombed. And we won't have time to play it today, but wow. Now we might play it before it's over, but I got to get this. This is from the KOLD story about fentanyl. I put the image on my Facebook page, right? And this is source is Tucson Police Department. All right. So the amount of fentanyl seized in the United States, right, was 8 million pills. All right? 8 million. Now, here's the scary part. I need some Filthy Pirate to get through this first half hour. The city of Tucson's fentanyl seizures in the same year. So remember, the United States was 8 million pills. Tucson, Arizona, 1 million. So, again, Rahina was on CNN yesterday talking about how Joe Biden is amazing for killing that Title 42 thing. And she just can't believe it's not getting done. Right? Let's open up the chaos at the border some more. Right? Now, let me do the math here. 1 divided by 8. So, I'm just saying, I don't have Gary's HP calculator, okay? But that is, if that number is what they have, this is KOLD and the source is TPD. That means 12.5% of America's fentanyl is in this city. 12.5%.
And they say the pills used to be laced with fentanyl. Now they're fentanyl. That's the active ingredient, fentanyl in a binder. And they said that they're generally a 2 milligram dose, but because of the production methods are so sloppy, they can vary by, like, it could be 3. And 1 milligram difference is the difference between getting high and dead. So it's that final line.
So I was in
that's so strong.
I was in a meeting yesterday after the show. I won't say where it is, but I was in the center part of town. Okay. Let's call it along the Speedway corridor between Wilmot and Swan. That's where I was in that area yesterday after the show. So I parked my rig and I'm walking to the door to this building. And there's like a street alley thing between these buildings with some trees and some bushes. And I look over to the right and there is a human being slumped over in a wheelchair. Not moving. I just stood there and stared just to see. And the people who I was meeting could see me through the glass. They're like, they come out and they go, what are you looking at? I said, I hope this poor soul's not dead. This is at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. And then one of the folks ran over and cried, hello, 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 hello. And then the person where they, in the end, they were amazingly unconscious is what turned out to be. They were barely breathing. So we called 911. Paramedics showed up. And she was overdosing on something in a needle. Early that morning when she went by, the people in this office gave her like a protein bar, like a snack bar and a bottle of water. And I guess when the firefighters got there, they found a bunch of needles in that bottle. That bottle was already empty. Hopefully she drank it, but she put her needles in there. So that was my morning yesterday after the show was, I'm like, oh my goodness, is this poor soul dead? Okay. Then What else happened in Tucson yesterday? We had a guy that originally reported that he hopped into the elephant enclosure at Reed Park Zoo. And I said, help, watch out Babar, the beloved children's elephant. But it turned out to be the turtle enclosure, tortoise. So I said, watch out Franklin. Listener Tom, was it a duck pond protest? Possibly. It was Kazachik. No, not the sump water hill. Then, to add to the chaos, we had a SunTran van crash into the bus enclosure where hitting two pedestrians. And you're like, oh my gosh. So we had that going for us yesterday. Listener Ralph said that yesterday, he was at the Circle K on Ajo and I-10, and the guy who worked there, the security guard they have there, said that three people died of fentanyl overdoses at that parking lot in a 24-hour period. But wait, there's more. There's a Battery Plus right there by Beyond Bread on the fabulous Monterey Village.
Your buddy struck again.
And two male suspects armed with machetes robbed the Batteries Plus. They took a big battery bank in a bright red box. And then, so this is the new thing. We've had the Burlington Coat Factory at Elkhorn Mall, and now the Batteries Plus on Wilmot and Speedway, ripped off by guys with machetes.
By the way, I was looking for the story.
Oh, Home of Champions, machetes are really big knives.
I was looking for the story on a news outlet so I could put it in the news today about the Batteries Plus. And I don't know, just in your search engine or whatever, Twitter or whatever, put Tucson and machete and just stream through the results. It's a thing going back many years.
Instead of the old Pueblo, we're the old machete. So, all right, Matthew, spin us away. We'll probably, let's get to listener Mike called up Rex Scott on a Bill show yesterday. And a bunch of you called me yesterday because they wanted to make sure they heard, after they heard Joanne on our show, DeFilippo in the morning, and then they heard Rex, there seems to be a problem. Houston, we have a Rex problem. So, oh, I forgot to tell you, in all this misery, to get our spirits up, it's a Rat Pack Friday. So anything by Sammy, Dino, or Peter Lawford, you can call up and we'll get the, oh, and the Sinatra, that guy. Wake up, Tucson. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Let's go right to this clip from Bill's show yesterday. The not too impressive or inspirational Rex Scott was on yesterday. And listener Mike, he emailed me yesterday, said, hey, I called up Rex on the show and this is the answer he gave. Am I missing something? So let's go right to the question. Here we go.
Let's go to the live line. Mike has called us. Listener Mike would like to speak with our interviewee, Rex Scott. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about the COVID bonuses that were paid to administrative personnel at the county. For instance, the communications director and other administrative staff receiving
so
5,000 bonuses. Are you okay with that? With the use of taxpayer money in that manner?
Here comes the smugness.
Well, those bonuses, Mike, we got a memorandum from the county administrator explaining to us who was eligible for those bonuses. Those were paid out before the current board took office. We did get...
All right, stop right there. He just said those bonuses were paid out before the current board took office. Did I hear that right, Matt? I just want to make sure.
That is exactly what County Supervisor Rex Scott said.
All right. So Rex, what's it going to be? We got the choices here. All right, this is like picking the, you know, which one of the Grail chalices at the end of Last Crusade. But here you go. Either you're totally erroneous, or you're a liar. So just pick one, Rex. I assume you're going to come out with erroneous. But the how calmly smug you answered Mike's question was beautiful.
He also did not answer the question. He answered the timing, but he did not say whether he thought that was
he says later how he was satisfied with whatever was in the memos, I think is what he said. Okay, we can keep going. Okay, let's go.
Explanatory memorandum that was sent to the previous Board of Supervisors.
Previous Board of Supervisors.
Which employees were eligible for those bonuses and why they were granted to them. And for all of those people who worked in a variety of departments, the reason they did so is because of their work in the beginning of the pandemic, back in the spring of 2020. And so I felt like the previous board got a fulsome explanation as to why those bonuses were given to the employees in question, and I appreciated that this board got to see a copy of that memorandum as well.
So just to let you know, this is from the FOIA request that Joanne got, and she already said this twice this week. That's the best part. Mike, listener Mike knew better. Okay. So they were paid April 24th of 2021 through July 3rd of 2021. I think it's so hilarious. The COVID bonus payments to these people started on April 24th and ended on the pay period right before Chuck did his horse crap retirement thing. I'm sure it's all coincidence. All coincidence, right? So, we had, remember, county administration, communications, five people in risk management, finance, in the finance department got bonuses. All right. Grant management and innovation. I'll start attaching names to this before it's over. And the human resources director. It's so funny, the people who got their bonuses. So, Rex, you just tell us, were you erroneous or did you lie to Mike? I'm sure you were erroneous. I don't know if you were trying to bullcrap poor Mike. I don't trust you as far as I can throw a bus, but let's say you're erroneous. I'm sure you're erroneous. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. I said Rat Pack, and listener Tom sent us Peter Lawford. I love the name of the album, The Great Screen Lovers Collection. If you just tuned in, you missed a lot, okay? You missed the guy crawling into the turtle enclosure at the zoo, probably whacked out on something. You missed my amazingly sad story of a lady who overdosed in her wheelchair near a building. I was having a meeting in yesterday, and I thought this poor lady passed away. You missed the robbery of the Batteries Plus on Speedway in Wilmot by Machete. Yes, Machete again. You missed the KOLD story where, according to Tucson Police Department, Tucson, Arizona is responsible for 12.5% Home of Champions, that's a little more than 10%, okay, of the country's total fentanyl seizures happens in Tucson, Arizona. And we were saying in our tech stream, I think with Betts, you know, how about all the ones that, of course, didn't get seized? What's that number? Right? You know, is that number the same number? Did they only get 50%? Because if they only get 50% of the total, does that mean there's a million fentanyl pills running through Tucson, Arizona, being used by our brothers and sisters? You know what would be a great thing to do leading into this? Cut cops. That's what I would do. This is what I love about all of these folks that wanted to crap on cops. Lane Santa Cruz, the mayor, all of you guys. All of these, the chickens have come home the roost. It's all happening. The chaos in your, I mean, think about it. We're 12.5% of all fentanyl seized in America is in the city of Tucson.
And as the caller pointed out, that's just the seized stuff. That's just the stuff they got.
Correct. Right? So we got that going for us. Okay. So you missed that. And then you missed Rex Scott on a phone call. A caller called yesterday on, he was on Bill's show, and either he presented erroneous information or he lied to him. Now what, Rex, you didn't know? Kim Challenger didn't give you the right cue card to read? You didn't know you were the supervisor last year? What does Rex do for a living before he became a supervisor, Matt? Do you know what he did for a living?
Principal?
Yeah.
And or city councilman.
Quote, educator.
There you go.
So Rex doesn't understand calendar work? Is that what we're hearing? Do we have to send him back?
Sounds like he could have been misinformed.
Dr. Robbins will send him to a calendar class at the U of A for $12,000 a semester. I'm sure that'll work.
Or there's also the possibility that there are multiple versions of memos floating around Pima County.
So that's another thing that came up this morning in some of my discussions with folks at Pima County about this issue is there another memo out there that we haven't seen? That also came up. The amount of Pima County employees that heard Joanne this last two times on the show that are pissed off and are telling her and me to keep running with this is unbelievable. It's higher than I ever thought.
And a lot of it's because of the nature of the people that got the bonuses versus what a person would think that those bonuses were for.
So Joe brought up the librarians, right? Because they were setting up the whole thing for taking the calls.
42. Phone calls they fielded.
Right, and they worked together with the IT nerds that got bonuses. But the librarians didn't get bonuses. Look.
Could there have been other bonuses paid in 2020?
Maybe. Don't know.
But apparently he was unaware of the 2021 bonuses paid in April, after he was seated as a county supervisor.
So that's the real question. So the next time Rex or Sharon or Adelita, they go on The Truth or The Jolt or KTKT, and they're being interviewed, right? Here's the next question to ask any of these people. What specific day did you know Chuck Huckleberry did the retirement scheme? What specific day? Because even Blue Check's question was, they were like, well, did you know? And they're like, well, I want to know specifically what day did Rex Scott know that Chuck actually retired? Kim, that's his chief of staff. So when I say Kim, I mean Rex's chief of staff. Kim, write as many different cue cards for Rex to read off of. I'm telling you, man, there's so much meat on, and it's such a messy situation. It's a messy situation for Jan Lesher, right? Because she's putting all this dumped out information, but where is she weaved into all this? Steve was right, okay? Steve Christie, and he'll be on next Friday. Steve Christie was right on this, right? It's the idea that why are we fast-tracking Jan's being coronated as the new county administrator when we don't really know where is she involved in this keeping of information from the bosses. Right? And as everyone says, teaching moment, nothing illegal, all this stuff. Right? It's the idea. I understand. Chuck was the emperor. Remember, Jan threw Chuck under the in that one memo or the human resources that Chuck told these people to keep this closely held group of people is supposed to know this and nobody else.
And then HR says we have no paperwork that he actually retired.
I'm telling you, man. It's a gas, man. It's a gas. So, but if he wants on, he's got to do it now. Actually, we got to go to break. 790-2040. We're going to have to take a call later. 790-2040 is the phone number. We're approaching 6:43 in the morning. I got Chris coming up from Solidarity. We'll take phone calls when CJ's here. We'll take phone calls on any of this stuff. We'll do food. We'll do Huckleberry. Whatever you want, we're there. 790-2040. It's a Rat Pack kind of Friday. Oh, Bill. Are we sure Rex actually knows that Chuck retired? Kim, get another index card ready for Rex. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 the voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 the voice. Local news and talk. CJ from Saguaro Corners coming up at the top of the hour. Chili said something about what bonuses. The people who got the bonuses, did they ever donate to? What's he saying? So I make sure I got this right.
The supervisor's campaign accounts.
Oh, we can find that out. I always love campaign finance stuff. It's where the rubber meets the road, right? So one day we got to get Chili to call in when CJ's here. It'll be like me sitting on the sidewalk in front of Satrielli's pork store in The Sopranos. Right, I got CJ with AI, right? And then I got Chili doing that voice, doing, hey, it's Chili Palma, what are we going to do? And, you know, Paulie Walnuts is here. Let's do this. Talk about Iron Eyes. Cody, we can do it up. So,
an Italian.
Is it Italian? Goomba from New Orleans.
Right?
He did have that tear, though. So, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So, this reminded me, I got to get this off my chest, right? So, here we are. We're going into this election. And if you've ever been a candidate, worked as a candidate, you are a candidate right now, I'm going to scratch you right where you itch, okay? And this, it's funny. In my experience of this show, it really started with Higgins, and I'll tell you why. So I still have my Joe Higgins for Supervisor t-shirt. All right? I wear it out, and people go, oh, is he still running? I said, hell yeah. Joe's running every damn day. Okay? Joe ran in the county supervisor primary against Ande. That's when we first met. The origin of this show is Joe running for that office. So Joe was the perfect guy. He was very, if you want to talk about a business leader that was actually doing it, it was Joe. Right? He had two businesses. He had his that time. Gotta Go Wireless. He sold that right at the right time. Unlike JJ, the king of beepers, who tripled down and said, I need more beeper stores. Right? Joe had Talking Trash, Garbage Company, and he had Sports Buzz Haircuts. And Joe was very involved with sign code changes in the city of Tucson in relation to A-frames and different things like that. Joe was trying to make life better for the business owner in this town. And you know what all these people told him? You should run for office. You should run for office. I'm going to have to continue this later because Chris from Solidarity is on the line. So let's go right up to the Solidarity World Headquarters. Let's go to our friend Chris Faddis from Solidarity. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you doing?
I like that one. You make me feel like our building should be nicer or something. World Headquarters.
Are you saying what I... You know, Brad's always said, well, you should, you know, Brad never invites me to come see the world ship. So I'm just going to go next time I'm up there. I'm going to check it out.
You should pop in. It actually is. It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. But I do. My office does oversee the trash can.
Well, that's okay.
Over the dumpsters. So, you know, it's a good world.
That's where we put the president of the company, right there, baby.
That's right.
Right over the garbage.
That's right.
So the draft opinion of the Roe v. Wade discussion by Samuel Alito has been leaked on purpose by somebody. And, of course, the chaos out there is fantastic. Chris Faddis, the floor is yours. What's your take about the general chaos of what's going on in the world of Roe v. Wade? Because basically, if this goes down, this vote, right, it's going to kick it back down to the states, and the voters will get to decide.
Which is where it probably should have been all along, right? I mean, the reality is that you know, essentially 50 years ago, they invented a convention of the law to try to, you know, create this law. And essentially, what the justices are doing is unwinding that and saying this is not something that's in the Constitution. We should put this back to the people, and now the states will get to decide. And states like Arizona can do what I think we recently just did in the 15-week ban, and we get those rights as voters back. And but yeah, you would think it's pandemonium for some, but unelected judges really should not. I mean, I don't know that they should be overseeing abortion policy in general. So I think this is an undoing of something that should have never been done. You know, and I don't know, Chris, I think the craziness of it, you know, this whole protesting the justices' homes and all of that has really backlashed on the left, you know, and we're seeing that kind of unwind. So we'll see what happens. I think, you know, I think it's going to be late June before they actually release the final opinion. But the bottom line is obviously for us, you know, I'm Solidarity Healthshare. We're a pro-life healthcare sharing ministry. So there's no doubt on what we believe, but you know, I think it's just going to be an interesting thing. Most Americans actually are pro-life. I actually believe that we should restrict abortion access. So I think the fact that we'll bring this back to the states, bring this back to the people is a good thing.
Well, I mean, and the response from the other thing before we get to the response, RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, two things, right? One, she said it was a crap decision to begin with because legally it was weak, right? I think even RBG couldn't believe it lasted this long, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then at the same time, God bless her with all of her working out because she was a fitness freak. She didn't retire when the Barackster took her out for a beer and said, you got to go, right? And so then, you know, when she passed away, Donald Trump had the shot to fill the seat, and here we are. So RBG, she's part of this a little bit. At the same time, the response of people throwing Molotov cocktails at pro-life centers in Wisconsin, we have something called Ruth's somebody, Ruth's way, saying they're going to burn the Holy Eucharist. I mean, where are we going with all this, kids?
Yeah, you know, it's getting to be. I mean, first of all, again, they're making it out to be. I mean, one of the things that came out was that ectopic pregnancies would no longer be able to be, you know, dealt with because, you know, it's an abortion if you want to deal with it. And that's not true. In fact, actually, Catholic healthcare, even as a Solidarity Healthshare, there are ways to solve an ectopic pregnancy and save the mother's life that are morally and ethically sound that don't involve an abortion, right? And so all of these things, burning churches, trying to protest churches. I'm sure you saw some of the videos of some of the protests at churches, and that largely failed. I mean, there was a handful of churches that got hit, you know. But yeah, going after these pro-life centers, going after different congressmen and legislators. I mean, this is one of the worst visuals of what our country has become, that when we disagree, we want to kill people, hurt people, ruin their lives. You think about those justices. I mean, they have children, they have families, you know, and now you're sending out their personal addresses to get people to go after them. I mean, this is just, it's nonsense. And at the end of the day, if you want abortion access in your state, then start advocating for it, because now your state can really determine what it is they want. Look at California. They're going to expand it all over the place. I mean, for the first time in how long, Newsom's going to give out corporate tax benefits to corporations that want to move their employees from, you know, anti-abortion states. So, you know, it's a crazy, crazy reaction to something that even, like you said, someone as liberal as Justice Ginsburg understood. This law was poorly fashioned in the first place by the courts, and now we're just giving it back to the states.
Well, and isn't this what the founders of this country, yes, I know, Tucson, white slaveholders, everyone calm down. are the founders of the state, right? Founders of this country, that's the great laboratory of the states, right? If you don't like what's going on in one state, go to another. That's what life's
exactly.
This is what we're supposed to do.
And again, let's remember, this is not a fringe group. That's the other side of this, right? Trying to make it sound to be like pro-lifers and people who want abortion restricted are, you know, a fringe group. I mean, it's not as much of the majority as it once was, but it's still over 50% of Americans believe that abortion should at least be restricted, if not completely abolished. And so, you know, we to have 9 justices and from the 70s be the ones to decide that, which, by the way, were a group of men, not women. And here we have a court of several women who are now about to overturn Roe. I think it's a great thing. I think we will see what comes. There will certainly be some states who will expand access and all of that. But you're right. You know, Trump was able to have a pretty significant impact on the courts here.
How many people do we know said, I'm voting for Trump, even though I may not like what comes out of his mouth or his tweeter sometimes, because he might have 1 or 2 shots at putting conservative judges on the bench. And that's
right,
what happened.
Right. That's what happened. What I will say, I will go there. Many sort of pro-life, faith-based people that I know in my own life said, well, there's no point in voting for him because we're never going to overturn Roe anyway. And they went the other direction. And
right.
Look what's happening now. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm grateful. But you look at what Biden, I mean, Biden has made it clear they're going to try to make this access. And this failed vote yesterday by the Senate to put everyone on record, to try to codify Roe, which actually would have gone beyond what Roe did. They were trying to make abortion completely all the way up to birth legal. It's, again, just a failed attempt at a bad policy. And we'll see it come out now.
We're talking with Chris Faddis from Solidarity HealthShare, solidarityhealthshare.org, to find out a better way how to take care of your health bills. But Chris, I want to thank Charlie Schumer, which I usually don't do on 13 years of doing this show, because he put the most radical, all-encompassing abortion law out there, and he got every Democrat to vote for it. He put him in this amazing corner. And so we have a huge Senate race coming up. And, you know, you talked about the polling, right, on abortion. When you look at people talking about full-term abortions, a huge majority of Americans are against full-term abortions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 76%, in fact, support limits on abortion.
Right.
Altogether, in a majority. To go all the way like that, and what was crazy is his strategy was he wanted them on the record. And I thought, why would you want them on the record? Leading into what everyone is calling, you know, the Democratic apocalypse coming up in the midterms.
Well, I thank Chuck Schumer again.
I will say I said the same thing to Senator Sinema yesterday in my letter to her. I'm not sure why she thought voting for that was going to help her with the moderates that she needs in order to get reelected. So,
all right, find out how to pay for your health care better. SolidarityHealthShare.org. Chris, great talking to you, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
Later, buddy.